This is Demir Barla, site editor of Search SAP. Everyone's talking about the recession, and SAP has taken a hit in its revenues recently. But investing in technology is still a sound proposition for most companies. We recently spoke with Anil Gupta, VP of SEM consultancy Bristlecone, to find out why investing in your supply chain can pay big dividends when times are tough. If you listen, you'll learn which three areas of SAP SEM you should adopt for the quickest ROI, and also which modules to avoid right now.
So Anil, the first thing is we're hearing from a lot of our readers in the community, of course, the economy is being hammered and it's impacting SAP and purchasers of SEM. I think the first thing I'd like to do is address those people who are maybe putting off an SAP SEM purchase or upgrade because of cost fears. What can you say about the ROI there that could maybe put some of those fears to rest?
Well, I think, Demir, well, thanks for, first of all, inviting me to this podcast. I think if we step back and look at supply chain management, overall, it's a very broad field, which includes things such as demand planning or supply planning on the planning side, supplier-facing capabilities such as sourcing, contract management, spend analysis, supplier collaboration, et cetera. So clearly some of these investments that you have in this have a longer payback, and then there are others like spend analysis that have a very short-term payback. So I think the key is to figure out which ones have short-term payback and invest in those in this time. So for example, if I look at spend analysis, that's the process of determining what is being spent, with whom, and for what. And then once you get clear visibility into where and how you're spending your money, you can then prioritize your sourcing efforts by identifying and focusing on those categories that have large buckets of corporate buying. You can rationalize your supply base by determining the right amount of suppliers to do business with, and as a result, take the spending that is on a category scattered among a large number of suppliers and award that volume to a smaller number of suppliers, and in the process get some volume discounts. What we've found through our engagements is you can typically enjoy savings anywhere from 2 to 3% of your total spend. Which if I step back and look at what would that translate into for a typical manufacturer, if they wanted to show a similar gross margin increase, they'll have to raise their revenues by about 15%. So here's an example of a supply chain investment that has a very solid payback in a short amount of time frame. I mean, if I look at demand and supply planning, they also can have a very quick impact. So, for example, what happens is over time, most productive supply chains deteriorate. And so the key metrics such as on-time delivery rates or fill rates or cash-to-cash cycle time, those metrics deteriorate over time and they fall below the most efficient competitors. And fixing those metrics during these times pay off. So your inventory cost can go down. Your expediting costs can go down, and more important, your ability to meet your delivery commitments will improve. And that's very critical because in these times, customer loyalty is very critical because your competitors have a lot of extra manufacturing capacity and they are going for those same customers. So if you can keep the loyalty, you can keep your customers. So if I step back, look at the various plethora of choices I have in terms of supply chain management, the key is to focus on those that have short-term payback. The risk always comes from embarking on something that has a long-term payback and a long-term deployment because what happens is your fundamental assumptions about demand, about products, about customers, about even fuel and transportation costs can all significantly change over time. And that means not only your payback is affected, but also the success of the project may be affected as well. So again, my recommendation is to focus on those supply chain products that have a very quick impact.
That certainly makes sense. It raises one question to my mind, which is when you're purchasing SEM, from SAP or maybe Oracle or some other vendor, is it the case that you have to pay for the entire suite and then you can make these certain short-term sort of hot areas live, or can you only buy the short-term areas? I'm just curious from a purchase perspective how that works.
No, you can buy. You don't have to buy the entire suite or deploy the entire suite. You can deploy it on a piecemeal by piecemeal basis. First, implement demand planning, address those issues, and then take it to the next one, which may be supply planning. You may find that your biggest issues are in supplier collaboration, where your impact on your bottom line can be immediate. You may decide to focus on that area first. So you don't have to really go through a prescribed path and implement the entire suite. You can find your point of entry based on where you can have the biggest impact right away.
Well, I'm sure that's very convenient for people who are considering. Now, let's move into sort of risk areas. One thing that came to mind risk-wise when you were suggesting this strategy is, what if you need to do something else before you can do, say, supplier analysis? Like, what if you need to do, I don't know, some kind of data cleansing or some other initiative first? So in terms of risk, is it okay to just leap into those short-term areas, or is there something even more foundational that you have to do first?
Well, I think it really depends on the initiative you're targeting. So if you're targeting a spend analysis initiative, you are not going to get the return unless your data is cleansed and you have aggregate visibility into all your spend transactions across your entire organization or across your entire division or business unit that you're going after. So you have to take each initiative at a time and make sure that you follow the right path within that initiative so that you have the biggest impact from your investment in that initiative.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, let's move on to the next question, a related question, which is there anything specific that supply chain management can do to help, and I mean SEM not just as a series of tools, but, practices and processes, that can help companies weather a difficult economy?
Yes. So if you look at a supply chain for any company, it can deteriorate over time because they add more products, they add more suppliers, they add more distribution centers, the customer mix can change, the product mix can evolve, they can implement new postponement strategies, new replenishment strategies, or maybe simply the volume has changed from when you first designed the supply chain. So as a result, the metrics begin to fall. So I think the key is to be able to figure out which metrics you want to track first. You want to make sure that your lead times are lowered. You want to make sure that your inventory thresholds are lowered, and you want to make sure that your suppliers are still rationalized. So the key is to be able to focus on those initiatives where you can have the biggest impact. Typically, if you pick those initiatives, you can reduce your costs as well as time, and you can find that not only they can add significantly to your significantly lower your cost structure, but also help you preserve your earnings even when you have revenue shortfall in these time frames.
Excellent. I mean, that's just what I think people would like to hear in terms of being specific. You did mention some specifics that people should be doing, like shortening lead times and trying to reduce inventory. Is there anything else that maybe comes to mind in terms of specific contributions to weathering the economy that SEM can give right now?
I think the focus has to be on increasing the efficiency and effectiveness during this time, taking costs out of the system, costs that are very obvious. The inventory is definitely very visible. Expediting costs, they can be taken out. It's a good time to streamline the process because typically the volumes are lower, the predictability is a little bit better, and focus on those areas where either the costs are very high or there is a lot of inefficient time spent so that your entire operation can be made less costly as well as faster. So I think any of those initiatives that allow you to reduce time and reduce cost are the right things to do at this time.
Gotcha. Now, in our tech bubble, we've heard for such a long time that you have to have a strategic supply chain, and at least for, since the beginning of this decade, AMR and lots of other people have been saying this is, you have to do this. But is it really the case that there are still a lot of people out there who can pluck this low-hanging fruit? Or, I mean, do you see a kind of saturation? You're so close to the marketplace, I figured you would know that.
Well, so if I step back and look at, you know, what customers are buying today, they're focusing on two things. If I look at from their strategy perspective, they are trying to make investments in areas, one, where they have a shorter payback, and secondly, where they can reduce costs or increase flexibility. They're not really trying to increase scale at this time. So I think anything that has a shorter payback, anything that reduces costs, is the right thing to do. So as a result, we're seeing a lot of interest in spend analysis. In fact, being a strategic partner to SAP for spend analysis, we are seeing both our and their pipelines in spend analysis show a lot of activity. We're also seeing a lot of interest in supply planning and supplier collaboration because through these two areas or investment in these two areas, you can significantly reduce your inventory and streamline your process. I think any supply chain activity with a lot of efficiency, which carries cost as a baggage, is worth looking at these times, especially because these things get overlooked during good times when focus is on growing scale rather than cutting costs.
Mm-hmm. Are there any industries in particular that are paying increasing attention? You know, you expect manufacturers and people like that to have done a lot of this stuff, but are there like new industries sort of coming online, as it were, exploring the value of this?
I think that traditional industries are definitely focusing on cost right now. I think it's a little bit too early to tell how long this our economic problems last. And I think picture will become a little bit more clear in about 3 to 6 months. And as a result, we'll be able to see which industries begin to invest on scale and flexibility and which ones are still going to focus on cost reduction and time reduction.
Excellent. And a final question, something that's really been on my mind for quite a while is, what's the state of, just generally speaking, you know, the state of supply chain automation with suppliers in places like India and China, you know, geographies that have traditionally been resistant, you know, for whatever purpose to coming on to this automated system? What's the state of play sort of out there beyond North America and Europe?
So I think if I look at some of the emerging economies, most of the investment is going in planning right now. So supply planning, demand planning, et cetera, are taking a fair amount of investment. I think anything that is more focused on short-term execution, streamlining, such as supplier collaboration, supply chain event management, I'm not seeing as much activity right now because a lot of these countries are also focusing on their own infrastructure issues, physical infrastructure issues, and so. But as that improves, I'll probably begin to see more investments in some of these technologies, like supply chain event management, like supplier collaboration.
Gotcha. Actually, I think a great way to sign off would be if you could give us sort of a top three of the supply chain management technologies that people should adopt, and then maybe a bottom three in terms of not that they're not valuable, but, you know, these are things that you may want to put off until the economy improves.
Certainly. So, Damir, I think spend analysis definitely would be on top of my list. I think supplier collaboration would be top of my list, and supplier network planning would be on top of my list. The only thing I would trade off is maybe demand planning, at least in consumer packaged goods and other areas where they want to make sure that they're still manufacturing to demand to preserve customer loyalty. The bottom of my list would be things that are more designed towards scale or fundamental reengineering, such as network planning. I think people are not really thinking about redoing their supply chain network because that has a long-term impact and not a short-term impact. I think given the fuel prices have again settled down, I think for now probably transportation and route planning are not as critical as they had become about 3 or 4 months ago when fuel prices were very high. I think supply chain event management can probably be delayed for some time. So those would be my top three and bottom three choices right now.
Excellent. Very helpful, as always, Anil. It was great to have you.
Great. Thank you, Damir, so much.
And there you have it. proof that supply chain investments can shave your costs, grow your margins, and get you through tough economic times. Thanks for listening.